on this final Friday before Good Friday, the church presents us with the prophet Jeremiah, who is in a very difficult situation because he's violently opposed, and then set side by side with Jeremiah, Jesus, who is being violently opposed by the Jews at the time. This gives us an opportunity to reflect on the experience of opposition or division or misunderstandings, which we all pass through. Maybe we don't have people threatening to throw stones at us, but we all at times have people who oppose us, who certainly disagree with us or don't understand us. And it's a very difficult circumstance or condition to remain in. It's very disturbing. We want peace, we want unity, we want harmony. And when it's not there, it's distressing. So whether it's in the family, or in the neighborhood, or in the workplace, or in the parish, or the community, when there's division, or there's opposition, it's so disturbing. And we can't make people agree with us, and we can't change ourselves to go along with their disorders or their confusion, so we're stuck with it. And what these readings both reveal to us is that in situations like this, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord, not in human harmony. In fact, we're never going to have everything worked out perfectly in this world. In the church, in the family, in marriages, that's not how it works. In this life, it's not going to be perfectly smooth all the time. But insofar as we have someone to call on, meaning the Lord, we can live in peace, interiorly anyway. Let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah, and this is not the only time he's expressed this, he's speaking clearly about his situation. He's a prophet sent by God, and he sent the people who God knows are going to oppose him. And here it is, they're out to get him, they're out to denounce him, they're on the watch for any misstep of his, they want to trap him, they want to take their vengeance on him. What can he do? He's up against forces that are greater than he is. He can't just dominate them, overpower them. He calls on the Lord. He relies on the Lord. The Lord is with me like a mighty champion. My persecutors will stumble. They will not triumph. You see where he puts his hope. He's a pilgrim of hope. Continues his journey, which is a difficult journey, but because his hope is in the Lord, he can persevere. And although the reading starts with a very negative description of his condition, people whispering about him, people out to trap him, by the end of the reading, what does he say? Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord, for he has rescued the life of the poor from the power of the wicked. See, we're a pilgrim of hope. A pilgrim of hope relies on the Lord, so much so that it's possible for us to praise the Lord even in the midst of terrible difficulty and division. It's possible as long as our focus is really on God. As soon as we turn our sights away from the Lord and we start to focus on the problems and the overwhelming problems and divisions, we'll be discouraged. We won't have hope. Because we'll see the impossibility of it all. So that's Jeremiah. Now Jeremiah, who, yes, he counts on the Lord, but he's really waiting for the Lord to take vengeance on his enemies. You know, his enemies want to take vengeance on him, and Jeremiah at least isn't taking vengeance on his enemies, but he wants the Lord to do it. And he says, let me witness the vengeance you take on them. Is it to say, show me how you're going to destroy any of the bad guys? So a human desire is still reigning in Jeremiah. We don't see that in Jesus. When we turn to today's gospel, again, this is not the same place as we were yesterday, where his opponents tried to stone him. This is two chapters later, and again, they tried to stone him. And he doesn't call on the Father to take vengeance on them. He certainly relies on the Father, and Jesus never gives up on expressing his unity with the Father. The very reason for his being here is because the Father sent him, and he's going to fulfill the will of the Father. So he's constantly talking about the Father, but he's not invoking the name of the Father against them. He says, I've done all these good works. I've done all these good works. Why are you stoning me? And they say, well, because you're blaspheming. And then a very interesting twist takes place here. Jesus calls out a scripture passage which refers to gods. It's a kind of a play on words, actually. But what's happening here is that people are trying to drag Jesus down. Jesus, who is God, who is equal to the Father, they're trying to drag him down and say he's a blasphemer. Jesus, on the other hand, who is already down, who has already descended from his glorious equality with the Father, who has already taken on the human condition, his intent is on raising them up. This is the glory of the gospel, that those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who are out to humble everybody else are going to be humbled. But those who are humbled, those who accept God's plan, will be exalted. And that's what he says. The scriptures say not only that, you know, he's not defending himself, I'm the Son of God, but that you are gods. The fathers of the church used to play around with this, saying God became man so that man could become God. Both sides of which, of that expression, are very puzzling to us. God became man. Almost unthinkable that God would empty himself so completely. But then the other side is also unthinkable, that man would become God. Now, it doesn't mean that we become God in the absolute sense, because that would be impossible. And we're not God. But we are drawn into a union with God, which is unimaginable to us in this life. Drawn into a communion, into one body, so that insofar as we are united with Jesus Christ, we are God, because we share in one nature with him. And this is what Jesus is all about. So he's facing a hostile crowd. They're trying to drag him down, and he's intent on revealing to them the will of the Father, that they be exalted. So unlike Jeremiah, who puts his hope in the Lord and hopes that the Lord will take his side, and Jesus, who puts his hope in the Father, who's entirely focused on the Father, wants what the Father wants, even for his enemies. This is the beauty that we will see in Lent. As ugly as it is, because Jesus, he doesn't always escape them, as we'll see next week, but Jesus is always intent on what is good for the others. He's not protecting himself when he escapes. He's not just taking his side against anyone else. He's awaiting the hour that the Father has chosen for him to make the complete sacrifice of himself for the very people who are opposed to him. What looks like the triumph of the evil, the triumph of the opponents, becomes, through God's marvelous intervention, becomes the triumph of love, the triumph of mercy. So that's what we're focused on as we pass through the later stages of Lent. Yes, we're in a divided condition among ourselves and even within ourselves. I hope everybody in Lent realizes that we're not as good as we want to be, and we can't. We can't even successfully complete 40 days without sin, or even one day. But we can continue the pilgrimage because of the extraordinary mercy of God and the extraordinary power, divine power, at work on our behalf to raise us up. So with hope, with realism about the weakness and brokenness of our condition, but with hope With great hope, we continue our pilgrimage.